Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
That's still not a coaster. You've moved your cup, but it's still not a coaster.
Jeff, these cans, they're just... my ears are going to explode. What do I got to do to turn it on? There we go. Very sensitive ears. Very sensitive.
Just generally a sensitive guy.
I am.
Good morning. Boomer and Warner in the morning, along with Ryan Pinder.
You're right about sitting on chairs like this. It's terrible.
Well, it's terrible for you. For sure.
Oh, but for you, it's not.
Well, I can't doze off, because I kind of need to keep it going. You could, I mean, once the neck goes back like that...
Oh, my neck's sore, too.
I've seen it on a number of occasions. None more so than Palm Springs. When we were doing the show there from Palm Springs.
I cannot believe you guys got away with that.
We did the show.
Whew. Did you hear the show?
Well, no, because I was on the air.
Right.
There was one little blip, I think, one day. That, other than that, it went.
I blame
smooth.
Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah, I blame Jeff too.
We were fine. It was the gear that was letting us down.
Junk.
Anyway, here's the thing. This is the big day. It's the grand prize draw. The winner. We made the draw in our Boomer and Warner Man Cave contest. The winner getting a brand new 60-inch TV. And a pair of leather recliners. Thanks to our sponsors. Obviously, they've jumped on every single time. Total Concept, AV, and Automation. They're going to make things nice with the TV. No wires hanging everywhere, like in my basement. Two leather recliners from Birchwood Furniture Gallery. Electric. Mm. You'd love it. Mm. And this, whatever this is. I don't know why this is a part of what it is, because I don't really understand. So if the three of us were bringing something that would stay in the man cave or whatever, then it would make sense. But here's the thing: live shows generally, when we set up in a broadcast location, it's because we've been paid by a company or business to draw attention to their goods or services in which they're trying to sell in exchange for money. Or there's some kind of a tie-in, the Calgary Flames alumni golf tournament.
Makes sense.
So, start of the year, they have their player golf. It's a charity event. Flames, we're a sports station.
Drawing awareness.
It all kind of meshes together. Whose brain nugget was this?
I could take a couple.
Because I've been thinking about this a lot. Number one, we're not inviting anyone to come over. For the listeners who Nicholas is a nice guy, but who I really care about are the listeners, and this does nothing for them.
He's right there. Right?
Look at the glazed look on their poor eyes. It's just...
Yeah.
So, you think I'm having trouble staying up? Oh.
So it's...
I'm usually sleeping.
Usually it's, yeah, come on by, see the brand new Ford Focus or whatever. Come and check out the show home, or you can't believe these barbecues. You got to get them while they're hot. No, there's none of that. Don't come here.
We just show up to make sure they're not complete degenerates.
Yeah.
That's what we're...
Basic, I guess.
Maybe steal a coaster or something.
So interrupt sleeping patterns.
So number one, for sure, absolutely nothing in it for the listener. We're not giving anything away. We're not inviting you down. The show is the same, except probably not as good because of the technical issues that we face. Zero in it for the listener. For the winner, that's it. And you're welcome. For the winner, they have to be around to allow the TELUS people, I'm guessing, to come in and start rooting around their house looking for internet lines or putting in hard phone lines so that these guys that they've never met before can come into their house and do a radio show. Then, on the day of, they've got to be up at like 4:30 to let another stranger come in. Well, actually, you've been here twice, right? You would come and test the line.
Yes, that's correct.
So Jeff would...
Jeff, don't talk.
Why are you talking? Turn that off, please.
Jeff's doing the best he can.
If you could just nod or shake your head.
Engineers aren't on the radio. Settle down. This isn't the Jeff show. Mason in the morning.
So Telus guy comes, puts in the phone line. Then Jeff comes to make sure it works.
It is grubby old lid. Yeah.
Smiling then, all the time.
Then gosh, Jeff leaves, and then the day of, which is today, Jeff shows up at about 4:30. Then we show up, three people they have never met. I mean, they'd have to clean up their house. They'd have to make sure it's...
If they didn't know any better, it could be one of the greatest scams going. Like, we've now got access to this house.
And truly, they don't know if we're on the air or not.
No.
I mean, we're sitting here talking to each other. Yeah. They don't know.
Pinder's yelling at the host, make some coffee. I mean, he's not shy to make
himself. Honey, where's my jewelry box? Where'd these guys go?
What do you think I could get for these earrings? But no, so here it is. There's three guys, which I'm sure is a thrill for Rachel to have three guys, four now, that aren't her husband, just sitting around on their furniture.
Stinking it up.
And... again, nothing in it for her, the listener. Even for Nicholas, it's maybe kind of cool, but it's not like we're...
Not cool enough for 4:30.
No, it's not cool enough for 4:30, and it's not like a music station, like when we're playing songs, we can sit and visit and kibitz.
Why didn't we let him pick the artist of the day?
It's too late now, Rhett.
No, sorry, Nick.
Because we have to do this. So we're really not even interacting with Nicholas. Here's what's happening. We're sitting on his furniture. He's sitting on a stool like he's...
an outcast.
Like grand jury. He's got his hand on a Bible.
You two sitting. Just stay over there.
Yeah, they're in the other room. I'm fine being here because it works geographically better for me. I'm close to home.
Speaking.
And it's great. But I don't really understand how it all ties together.
And we're not even making nachos?
I was going to say, aren't you messing up someone's kitchen by now?
And at this point, no one's brought coffee or breakfast for them. They've provided the coffee that you guys are drinking.
I can tell
they
you
have made out of their own kitchen.
I can tell you this. If I had happened to win this, I would have allowed Jeffrey into the house, and I would have said, thanks, I'll see you at 8:30.
You go back to bed.
Back in the wrapper, few logs.
Yeah.
Get up, have my shower. You guys make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
If you do want to steal some books or a lamp, you feel free, but it's not worth it to me to monitor you for the next...
All the really expensive stuff is upstairs. I'll be up there sleeping. You're probably not gonna...
You guys look too dumb to figure it out anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to sleep.
So we either need to make this better for the listener, better for the winner, or I don't know why we're doing what the thing is.
I'm fine with it.
Well, and here's the thing. The last, because we went to the one, and that was Keith's.
It was Rocky Mountain House. Just ridiculous.
Like, it's not like we're doing the show in the man cave.
Yeah, that's another thing I thought that would probably be part of this one.
If we were in the man cave and then we could be sitting in the recliners and talking about how great the TV is.
Well, I blame Jeff for that.
The TV isn't even here yet. They don't have the TV.
Well, this is part of how things are.
Well, you know what? Two things. Number one, blame Kirsch. Number two, hashtag Boomer cares.
Boomer does care.
Because I think that this needs to... I'm just thinking of others.
Clean it up's on Wednesday next week.
Yeah.
Hashtag Boomer cares.
That's right. Get it trending, Red. Get it trending.
You going to get on Twitter?
No, probably not.
So here's my question. You being the hockey guy, this is your last show. You won't be back till September. Is this where you turn off watching hockey? Has the summer taken over for
you? Well, oddly, I was going to ask you guys, what was your take on the game last night? Were you wowed by the intensity of it?
Sleepy. Thought it was a little sleepy, to be honest.
Thank you. And now, do you attribute that to the extra periods the other night, or is it just... And here's the other thing. Who was I talking to the other day? Oh, Ken Wagner from Fraction.
Oh, jeez.
Fraction Energy Services?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to him.
Fort St. John boy.
Yeah, we were talking to him yesterday.
He knows you.
And Does it not seem as rambunctious or less rambunctious in Chicago than it did a few years back? I mean, it's still good, but it's not off the charts like it was.
When you do it every year, it's not as special. It's so simple. This is the fourth time in 6 years they played in the Western Conference Final, and now the fans are expecting, oh, well, there'll be next round, too.
Well,
there'll be cup finals in 2 weeks.
Here's the thing. If they lose, now they're actually going to – they're going to the Western Conference Finals, have won two cups, and they're going to be dissected. What's wrong with the Hawks?
Mm-hmm.
Can't win.
Should have got Babcock.
Can't get to the foot.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. That is kind of the it's what comes with winning. You're not wrong. It's like, hey, we get to go and watch Jonathan Taves and Patrick Kane tonight. Yeah. 41 times a year. They're there every night.
Oh, they'll be in the spring, too.
Yeah, and then we always make the playoffs. And even by round two, it's like, I'll go to round three. I'll go to those games.
When it matters.
I mean, for us, you go there and it's like, wow, this is really something. But certainly last night, I thought there was going to be a real impact from the crowd, that this was going to be Chicago. We got that game to look out because now we're rolling. It was very dopey and
mundane.
Sleepy.
Is that not on the Hawks, too? They have these early power plays. They can't score. They fall behind 1-0.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Hawks were the better team, that building could have been electric last night. But they never led. They didn't once have the lead. This is not the Hawks club of 2-3 years ago. Everyone's a little bit older. Patrick Sharp's on the back nine. Their blue line is much thinner than it's ever been.
And that probably, well, I mean, as far as...
How old is old Sharpie?
34, 33, something like that. I'll look him up.
The thing with the dopey effort, that's how the Ducks want it.
Perfect road game, right?
Right? I mean, they don't want the crowd. They don't need any of that. So I wonder how much of that comes down to the Ducks doing a good job of just...
They just look good.
Sharp's 33.
You know, you talked about all that they've done, and they lost a game to the Flames. Mm-hmm. Should have won that other game. Like, they are controlling every game. There's, you know, this Chicago, there was a few, the first period of game one, Chicago, I thought, was the better team.
Yep. Ducks own the final four.
And there's been certain points in games where the Hawks have took it to them a little bit. But never to the point of, we're just scrambling here. But we're out of control.
And the thing with the Hawks is you would think, okay, if they're trailing in a series, so what is it? Does the goaltending let them down?
No, Crawford's been great.
Crawford's been fine. So what is it? They're not the better team right now.
Yeah. Power play. Maybe.
Yeah. But I mean,
game
two and game... Because even in game two, what was that? That there was that, like, with the Flames, that stretch of time where it was like 15-4 shots for the Ducks when they just take over for an 8, 10, 12 period minute
period.
Well,
and you just watch the Hawks had been looked like the other two teams that Anaheim has played. We're going to get you just scrambling and scrambling. And as a D, I'm going to throw it off the glass. I'm just going to advance it. Or I'm going to, here he comes. I better reverse it. And it's never a crisp.
Yeah.
They're never moving the puck crisply. Tape to tape. Yeah. Up the ice.
We were saying earlier, before you got here, we were so down on the Jets. We all thought they were a sneaky good team. Maybe they are a really good team, but the Ducks are just that good. No one's beaten the Ducks. No one's made them look bad.
And here's the problem. The Jets could have beat the Ducks.
They got swept.
I know, but they kept shooting. At least they're a team that has been up on Anaheim.
They tested them more than they've been tested.
Yeah. Like, they got swept, and they're still probably the best matchup.
Third period leads in the first three games. No one's been close to that for any amount of time. Yeah, the Flames won that one game, and it took six periods for the Hawks to get a win this round.
And to me, it felt like, as good as Anaheim was, and they were good, but Winnipeg did a lot of things to shoot themselves in the
foot. Totally. Yeah, and that's why we were disappointed, too. The dumb penalty Bufflin takes.
Yeah.
They're big and strong, and they don't try to play, you know, mean. They almost were resigned to losing to the Ducks after they'd blown those leads early.
And I wonder very quietly, and again, we're kind of really, all of a sudden we've got the Ducks are Stanley Cup champions.
Oh, it is.
Ducks and Lightning.
It's Ducks, Lightning.
But you know what's interesting, too? I wonder if we'll look back and say one of the things that the Ducks, yeah, there was Ryan Kesler, and this young D was really strong. There have not been many or any soft goals on Frederik Andersen.
Yeah. He's been quietly a really nice story.
To this point, Hiller or Gibson last year, whatever, the goaltending hasn't been good enough for them. He's been more than good enough.
Yeah, because they're not running it up.
What was the one?
They're going out, they get the lead, and they just
like he's got the highest career save percentage in the playoffs. NHL history.
Well, he's hardly played, though.
Sure, but that said, it's like it's tough to call that a weakness on a club when he's playing as well as he's played, right?
Well,
I remember we were sizing up Flames Ducks. Like, well, maybe they, you know, it's a young, inexperienced goal. I was like, well, no, hang on now. They could have re-upped Hiller. They had no interest. They saw what they had in the pipeline. They much preferred having Frederik Andersen.
There's a reason teams let guys go.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Like, how many times in history is it often?
A third of the price, better goalie. We'll keep Andersen.
We talked about that the other day. Bobby Ryan or what, you know,
Silverberg.
Marty St. Louis.
Marty St. Louis. Sorry,
don't,
kid. Yeah.
Don't get bullied. Let the guy go. We'll survive. It is didn't really work with Edmonton and Gretzky for a long stretch there.
They did get $10 million.
They did win the next year.
That's a lot of money.
1990. 20 after 7, Stephen Brunt, when we come back, we'll see if he was doing the Mike Babcock third-person count yesterday.
Babcock.
Brunt's not sure.
Well, Stephen Brunt's not sure. Stephen Brunt doesn't like guys that use third person. We'll come back. And as well, before the top of the hour, we will chat with Elliot Friedman, who was covering the big presser yesterday. But Brunt, when we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Brunt brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The 2016 Audi A6 has arrived, boasting powerful new engines, a bold new exterior, and innovative new technology. Visit glenmoreaudi.com.
Friday morning, 7:29. Pleased to welcome Stephen Brunt back to the show. Were you part of the now I missed you yesterday. I'm watching prime time. There's Ken Reed in your chair.
Yeah.
Were you getting your Mike Babcock on? Where were you yesterday?
No, this is one of my those rare weeks when I'm not doing that show. So I've got one more week of primetime left before my summer disappearance, which will be next week. So sadly, I was not there.
Now, in a weird way, do you kind of... Is that where it's obviously huge, big news, it doesn't get much bigger in Toronto for the Maple Leafs? Do you miss not being around on a day like that, or is that the day you don't want to be there?
It would have been fun. Like, I wrote for the magazine yesterday, so I did get to at least weigh in on Babcock, though that won't show up for a couple of days now. But, it's fun when, you know, when a news, especially kind of an unexpected news story, you know, kind of a 48-hour news cycle with that one, where no one saw it coming, and all of a sudden there was, you know, it kind of upends a lot of conventional wisdom. And, here at the center of the universe, there has been nothing else, you know, including the poor Argos having their press conference the same day the news breaks. There's been nothing else that's been talked about since that news broke. It has been 100% Babcock here, which, you know, probably tells you about the state of the hockey team and this state of hockey in Toronto, that in June a coach hiring is the biggest, you know, the biggest possible news story out there.
Yeah, I mean, could there have been a better example? I don't even know what the word or the terminology would be. But there's the CFL and the Argos and doing their thing. Argos, no one seems to care about the Argos in Toronto, but we're going to change it. Not today.
Well, my old colleague from the Globe and Mail, David Schultz, who was at that football press conference. So they're announcing the Argos sale and, you know, patting each other on the back, the Bell guys and Larry Tannenbaum and Jeff Orr, the new commissioner. And, you know, the Babcock thing had started to break on Twitter just before that. And Larry Tannenbaum is there from MLSE, and Schultz asked him, you know, what about Babcock? And he said, oh, we're gonna have a press conference later today. And it's almost like everybody in the room turned and ran and left. It was
jeez.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I felt for those guys. I felt for the Argos anyway, because they can't catch a break. And just, you know, one thing, I guess we'll talk Babcock here, but the one thing that has become clear about this Argo ownership shift is that, you know, while they'll be in BMO Field next year and they'll have the new owners by the end of the Toronto Argonaut season is going to be one terrible slog. They're not going to, you know, they're not, the ownership doesn't change till the end of the year. They're going to be in the Rogers Center, and it's pretty clear that they're not going to put 1 cent into this team in 2015. So,
David Braley.
It's going to be a bit bleak this year, and there won't be anyone there. You know, TSN, when they're shooting those games, is going to have to use that low angle they use to show, so they don't show the empty stadium.
Yeah, it still won't work.
No, it's going to be brutal. But anyway, there you go. No one cares. Yeah. Mike Babcock's here, and this is Canada's team. I hope you know that.
That's right.
Yeah, he mentioned that. I was confused.
So the impact, obviously, is the impact is huge, Steve, but realistically, because we've talked about this, at the end of the day, what's changed? Randy Carlyle's a guy that had one Stanley Cup and had them in kind of playoff territory. They gunned him. They're not going to be gunning this guy. What has changed other than the guy calling the shots?
Well, that's a really good question. I guess, you know, fan confidence, you know, consumer confidence, that's what this is all about. Randy Carlyle won a Stanley Cup. Ron Wilson, his predecessor, took a team to the finals. You know, both guys are decent coaches, you know, very good coaches. And, you know, they ran out their welcome war out, as you know, all coaches do eventually. This guy has got, you know, Babcock has 8 years, which is a ridiculous term. He's got, the bar is set incredibly low. They're essentially telling people abandon all hope for the next, you know, three seasons at least. Because, you know, we're going to take it down to the foundations. And people are cheering about that and, you know, throwing confetti up in the air. We're going to lose. We're going to guarantee losses for the next three seasons. But, you know, you hire a guy with you can't argue with his resume. He was part of a great organization in Detroit, which had, has spawned a whole bunch of, you know, keeps spinning off executives for other teams and coaches for other teams. That's how good they are. They were incredibly skillful, not just in, you know, having star players like Lidstrom and Yzerman and guys like that in the fold, but also finding guys late in the draft and finding European players and doing all kinds of creative things. You know, that's not Toronto. So, you know, Mike Babcock benefited from everything in Detroit. He's going to come to a place where they don't have a general manager right now. They're still trying to figure out how the organization is going to work. And that's a different scenario, but he gives good press conference, I'll tell you that. You know, he sat there and looked like, you know, like the Rock of Gibraltar, and said the right things, and then in interviews later in the day said exactly the same right things. And you know, I think Leaf fans sat back and, you know, and in their fantasy saw Phil Kessel terrified that Mike Babcock was going to yell at him, which would, you know, we'll get people here through the summer. That's you know, the revenge fantasies against Kessel and Dion Phaneuf are kind of would probably first and foremost in Leaf fans' minds right now.
Did you notice he called himself Mike Babcock a fair amount?
Yes.
Third person.
How many guys from Saskatoon don't do that? Do they talk about themselves in third person?
Some,
you know,
I
love that.
They're not supposed to, Steve.
Yeah, well, I thought that.
Yeah, they're not.
I thought the study in contrast there was the fact that he managed to tell people that, A, he had been bear hunting at some point, B, that he drove a pickup truck, and C, spoke about himself in the third person. I'm not sure those things go together.
Bear hunting.
I thought it was pure gold. Hey,
Mike Babcock, he's the common man.
He's just, another guy. Exactly.
What's best for
exactly
Mike Babcock's
right.
family?
Exactly right.
So I'm watching this thing, and it's the center of the universe, and it's the biggest deal. And the same questions keep going over and over. I would like you to grade the level of questioning, because I watched it for a while, and I heard the same question about 7 times, and he has to give the same answer. Yes, I recognize there's going to be some downtime, and we're committed to it long term. So are you okay with maybe some doubt? Yes, I'm committed to the what is going on with the questions?
Well, I guess you're right. It becomes kind of a ridiculous dance, doesn't it? Because, you know, the questions people would want answered are you really expect to play, you know, coach a losing team for the next 3 years? Are you going to be happy standing behind the bench watching a team lose night after night? What do you actually think about Dion Phaneuf and Phil Kessel? Was part of your discussion with Brendan Shanahan that you could make those guys, you know, into useful citizens again? Or did you say you got to get them out of town one way or another, even if we have a deed contract? You know, all the stuff people want to know, and he's not going to answer any of that. So, you know, it's like a political press conference. You know, it's exactly the same thing. The guy stayed on message. And, you know, the message is, you know, I'm Mike Babcock. I've won 2 Olympic gold medals, a Stanley Cup, World Championship, World Juniors, coached the most successful, consistently successful team in the league the last 10 years. And I know what I'm doing, and I'm a tough guy who shoots bears. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, things are under control. Yeah. Have no fear. He stayed on message, like I say, exactly like a good politician with his talking points in front of him.
The one, and you mentioned his name, Phil Kessel, I think that's the one interesting player in this whole scheme. Will he flourish or flounder? Is it a given that now he's leaving Toronto because there's no way he can play for Mike Babcock? Or is he the one coach whisperer who can get through to this guy?
So, you know, it's a heck of a question. Like, I don't think you casually discard guys who can score goals in the league the way the league is right now. You know, if you've got a guy who's a 30-plus goal scorer, should be, you can't just throw him aside. You can't just give him away. And, you know, ideally you don't deal him with a gun to your head. You don't go in and, you know, say, you know, give him away for a bag of pucks because he has value. I think Phil Kessel still has value. I think it's just a question of what you expect him to be. And, you know, if you expect him to be the kind of the core, you know, he's not going to be a Taves. He's not going to be that kind of a player, you know, who's kind of a core player on your team. He's going to be a peripheral guy who scores a lot of goals, who's got a lot of talent, who can skate like crazy. You know, can you make him a responsible player at both ends of the ice? I don't know. Is it worth doing that? Is that really what you want, or would you be happy just having him contribute offensively? There's always those issues about whether he's been in shape. People think he's fat. The Leafs had argued, you know, always said, well, actually in our testing he does really well in our so, you know, if he's fat, lazy, and not interested in winning hockey games, you know, I guess if that's true, then maybe you do have to run him out of town. But I would think that you would want to rehabilitate Phil Kessel. You know, I think that would be goal one, would be to, because he's really, really talented. There's just, you know, he has talent that nobody else on that team does.
It's interesting. The one thing he said that stuck out to me was he wanted to make Toronto a safer place for players to play. And I thought that was interesting. He now does become the face of the franchise. I think it's easier to be Dion Phaneuf, a guy with a letter, even Phil Kessel, because now all the hard questions, Babcock's first in line. It's not some dead man walking coach in the club.
But, you know, the weird part about that is, you're right, he came back to that over and over again. And I think part of that was a coded message, you know, well, Steve Stamkos, right? If Stamkos actually goes to free agency rather than extending with Tampa this summer, Stamkos is a Toronto kid, and there's a sense that he's one guy who might want to play in Toronto, and, you know, they would obviously be able to pay him. They would be able to free up the cap space if they had to pay him. So that's, you know, that, I guess that's what it means by safe. But, you know, one of the perceptions, and I think it's actually the truth about players in Toronto, is, you know, if anything, they've been coddled, right? That players, you know, they're treated like gods, whether they win or whether they lose. That they're not, you know, in terms of safety, it's been a real comfy place to play for guys who haven't won anything. So, I'm not sure that's, you know, this is a team that completely rolled over on poor old Peter Horacek last year after Carlisle got fired. Like, literally, is one of the worst quit jobs I've ever seen in sports. You know, because they all clearly wanted to go play golf. They were in a playoff position when Carlisle was fired. And they ended up almost, you know, they were down in Connor McDavid territory by the end of the season. So that sounds like guys who are pretty damn comfortable to me. I don't know what, in terms of, you know, a safe environment for players. I guess, I think maybe, you know, if he means a desirable place for players to come if they have a choice, then I get that. But, you know, in terms of making guys feel more secure, if anything, players there historically have felt way too secure.
Isn't it the only way to get? I think about Montreal and Toronto. They go through these swings where, oh, I don't want to go play there. It's too much. Well, no one's really saying that about Montreal right now, and the reason is because they're winning.
Yep.
And it's the same as Edmonton. They get McDavid and they do these changes, Chiarelli and McClellan. All of a sudden, guys are going to start going, Edmonton. Whereas 2 years ago, try and get someone interested in going to Edmonton. There's no way.
Yeah.
The only way you change anything, or maybe safer, or whatever word you're trying to describe it, the way to make Toronto an attractive place is to win, is it not?
Yeah, I think so. Like, there are factors playing in Canada that are different for players than playing in the States. There are factors playing in a big city that are different playing in a smaller place. I understand that. One of the things that was interesting listening to Babcock yesterday, where you kind of say, well, why did he choose Toronto? Well, aside from the fact that they would pay him more money than anyone, he spent a lot of time talking about living downtown in a condo with his wife. You know, their kids are all off to school, empty nest. We want to live in a big city. We don't. You know, that didn't sound like a guy to me who ever really contemplated going to live in Edmonton. They wanted the big city, and they wanted, there was a bunch of lifestyle stuff in there, and I think from his point of view, that's part of what he wanted, and that's part of what you get in Toronto. You're in the center of one of the four or five biggest cities in North America. Some guys like that, some guys don't. In general, I would agree that, winning is part of it, although I still think there's a lot of players who like going to places where they have all the creature comforts, where they can live really well, and when they walk away from the rink, no one bugs them. And that's not anywhere in Canada.
That's a handful of guys, I would say, though.
Yeah,
I haven't played with too many guys that are, there are guys that want that, but not the majority.
I guess if you're weighing things kind of equally, I would think it would be a lot of fun. It would be the most fun to play on a good team in a place where the people really care. I think that would be the ultimate to me. Playing in Anaheim for a really good team right now. I've covered that team in Anaheim off and on over the years. Once you get outside the parking lot, you wouldn't know that they exist. So it's great to play for a team that may well win the Stanley Cup, but wouldn't it be more fun to play for a team that might win the Stanley Cup in Montreal or Toronto or Calgary? Seems to me it would.
In Buffalo, and those poor folks in Buffalo are all upset again.
Yeah, well, Red,
Do they have any reason to be?
Well, did you see? I guess you noticed the press conference. There was a rather sizable contingent of Buffalo media at that press conference yesterday to represent the ever screwed over people of Buffalo. They got Rex Ryan though, so it's not all bad there. They got a big time coach in football, so they got a pretty good looking team actually this year, I think. But yeah, I don't know if he left them at the altar. I don't know if he played them off as leverage. Two different situations. You can see again that the lifestyle choice would be very different if you go to Buffalo. Most of the guys live out in Orchard Park, suburban Buffalo, little town kind of setting. Some guys, a lot of hockey guys, like that. He's Toronto's a different thing, and he seems to, again, Babcock seems to pine for the condo life downtown. I think Buffalo, sounds like Buffalo would have paid him almost, as much money or more. They got a really rich owner there. But you just don't know what that conversation was, If he really did say, hey, I just got to book a flight, let me call you back, I'll be there for the press conference on Wednesday, then they did get shafted.
8 years.
Yeah.
What has to happen for Mike Babcock in those 8 years to make people look back on this and say it's success? A Stanley Cup? And can he do it?
I don't. Stanley
what
Cup
the chance?
8 years, boy. He could. You look at what they've got right now, and it doesn't really add up to anything. That's why, the easier challenge, and this is, remember when Brian Burke came in, the last of last savior in Toronto, who was greeted with similar hoopla, what he kind of promised to stir the pot, right? He was going to make things happen, and that's why the Kessel deal got made, and that's why Phaneuf, and he was going to speed up the process a little bit, and he kind of overestimated what he already had, and made a whole bunch of mistakes, it turned out. But that's, he wasn't going to, it wasn't an 8-year build to a Stanley Cup. It was going to be, we're going to get back and be in the playoffs right away, and we'll at least be in the conversation. It's way easier to do that. And I still think that they're going to give in to that temptation here at some point. I don't think this is an Edmonton situation. I just don't think you can do that in Toronto. So, mm-hmm. I think they'll be back in the playoffs. My guess is that the team will be better next year, even if they lose some of the guys that are there right now, because I think they'll try a little harder. I don't think they'll have the option of trying to get a coach fired like they did last year. And, you know, if they creep into the playoff conversation in a year or two, which I think would be, you know, that'll make people plenty happy here. You know, if they're in the playoffs, it would make people happy. And, you know, and all that kind of long-term, we're going to win a Stanley Cup by the end of the decade or something. It's a long way away. People here are not, you know, I think TV people, front office people, coaches, fans, everybody will say, you know, in theory, we're in for this long rebuild. We don't care how long it takes because we know this is the only way you can do it. But I think when you actually get about a year into that, people go, hang on a second, this sucks. You know, I'm not actually enjoying watching this. And, you know, what if we don't stumble into a Sidney Crosby in the draft? You know, it's not fail safe, right?
Yeah, it's fun in late June when you're at the draft. The 364 other days, a little difficult to live with.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks for this, man. We'll chat with you next week. I hate it when I impose on your holidays, though.
Well, it's no, next week I'm working. And okay. I was working this week. It just didn't look like it.
Okay. Fair enough.
I covered it up very well.
Yeah, the great ones make it look easy. Thank you, Stephen.
Say bye.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The 2016 Audi A6 has arrived, boasting powerful new engines, a bold new exterior, and innovative new technology. Visit glenmoreaudi.com.
7:48. Rhett Warner, with no regard for the clock, just asking questions to beat the band. What got into you today?
Seriously.
Going out with a bang.
Can't get anything out of you. And then today, I got another one for you.
What about 8 years?
I was wondering
about...
Can
you do it?
Nailed it.
You did.
On fire.
Elliot Friedman next, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary traffic from the 660 News Traffic Center.
Still no accidents or stalls to slow you down, but it's busy out there. Seeing the volume continue to grow in the southeast. Deerfoot northbound now slow from 130th Avenue up through Barlow Trail, Anderson Road, Southland Drive. Slow go Glenmore Trail eastbound from Crowchild Trail over the causeway through 14th Street and stays busy right over towards McLeod Trail. And a slow go in the northeast now. Deerfoot Trail southbound approaching Beddington Trail and all the way down through McKnight Boulevard. Busy exiting onto Memorial Drive as well, and southbound Deerfoot slows right down, exiting at Blackfoot Trail, 17th Avenue. From the 660 News Traffic Center, I'm Sue DL.
Brought to you by the 41st Annual Okotoks Collector Car Auction, Canada's longest-running collector car auction, May 22nd to 24th at the Okotoks Rec Center. Selling classic cars, trucks, and memorabilia. Visit OkotoksCarAuction.com.
Hi, it's Dean Malberg here. I've seen some of the biggest hits to ever happen on the ice. I'm talking bone-crushing, glass-shattering body checks, like a couple of freight trains hitting head-on. Even so, when I'm, say, driving to Banff on the weekend, I can't get over how much gravel hits my windshield. Some of these pieces of gravel are huge, coming straight at my windshield like a Shea Weber slap shot. There's no avoiding it. They come out of nowhere and hit hard. By the time I'm back home, my windshield looks like Zdeno Chara has been teeing up slappers at it. I shouldn't be surprised, I guess. I mean, it's spring, and you could fill the saddle dome with all the gravel that's on the road. So what did I do? I covered my glass and signed up with AMI Auto Glass Insurance. For as little as $16 a month, I can cover all of my auto glass. That way, if I ever have to replace my windshield, the deductible won't break the bank. Visit coveryourglass.ca today to find out more.
It's time to put away the hockey skates, pack away the parka, and enjoy the season. Lanny McDonald here for the Big Store Eastside Dodge. They're making it easy to start fresh this season in a brand new vehicle. This month only, get your first three payments for free on the Ram 1500. Only at my favorite dealership, Eastside Dodge. Visit eastsidedodge.com or call their hotline at 273-4313 and tell them Lanny sent you.
Eat, sleep, play, repeat. Now that's what a vacation should be. Booking your great golf escape has never been easier than with Golf Central Alberta. Get your group together and get ready to explore some of Western Canada's most renowned golf courses. Just pick your hotel and your courses, and we'll handle the details so you can focus on what really matters, your handicap. To learn more about our partners or to book your getaway, call 1-888-657-2616 or visit golfcentralalberta.com.
At Subway Restaurants, we know that not all chicken sandwiches are created equal. That's why why we use only extra lean white meat for our grilled and seasoned chicken strips, with no preservatives. It's part of what makes our new honey sesame chicken melt so special. Grilled and seasoned chicken strips topped the way you want, with an Asian-inspired sweet and spicy sauce built high on your choice of signature bread. Try our new honey sesame sauce today to give your favorite sandwich a new flavor twist. Subway, eat fresh. For a limited time at participating restaurants.
Acura's Season to Drive sales event is on now with great limited time offers on select remaining 2015 Acura models, like lease rates from as low as 0.9% APR or cash purchase credits up to $5,500. Experience the quality, performance, and refinement of Acura's smart luxury today. Plus leases from 0.9% APR or cash purchase credits up to $5,500 on select 2015 Acura models. Offers end June 1st. See your Acura retailer for details.
New home construction is evolving. The Elements are leading the charge.
We bought a home at the Elements.
And we're really excited that it was built by free-range contractors.
Yes. Every new home at the Elements has been constructed by free-range contractors. Each journeyman is pure, non-genetically modified, and born by real people. On Earth. Starting from the low 200s, it's time to own a home naturally. Visit the Elements Certified Free-Range Non-GMO Show Suites in New Brighton. CedarGlenLiving.com.
Introducing the Scotiabank Momentum Savings Account, the high-interest savings account that rewards you for saving by paying you twice. First, with regular interest, then with extra interest when you keep your money saved for 90 days. Open an account by June 15th and get up to 2% interest. With up to 2% interest, you'll save like never before.
Ask us about our Momentum Savings Account. Visit a branch or Scotiabank.com to learn more. You're richer than you think. Scotiabank.
Promotional rate applies to balances of $5,000 or more until July 31st.
It's time to put away the hockey skates, pack away the parka, and enjoy the season. Lanny McDonald here for the Big Store Eastside Dodge. They're making it easy to start fresh this season in a brand new vehicle. This month only, get your first three payments for free on the Ram 1500. Only at my favorite dealership, Eastside Dodge. Visit EastsideDodge.com or call their hotline at 273-4313 and tell them Lanny sent you.
Nobody talks the 200 by 85 like we do. Proud home of the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. Your sports radio, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Proud to broadcast live from the Saddle Dome. Every shot, save, and goal from your Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960 is Calgary's hockey station. Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Elliot Friedman is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Score winning price. Save $2,000 on a 2015 Kia Sportage. Pay just $22,800 or finance for $112 weekly. Barlow and 23rd or EastsideKia.ca.
Elliot Friedman, apologies for getting to you late. Red Warner, it's his last day before his three-day holiday, decided to ask Stephen Brunt 100 questions in our last segment.
That's no problem. If you introduce me with Mad World, I'll be late all the time.
There you go.
I love
a few
this
things
song.
I want to.
It's a great song.
This band a little bit, I mean, I'm talking to the wrong people. I like Tears for Fears. They're a little bit underrated to me. Mm-hmm. I think people forget about them.
They were huge when we were teenagers, Dean.
They sure were. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to rule the world, after all.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about Babcock. We'll just get this Babcock thing out of the way. Because
sure.
This is what I'm really curious about. How or who is going to be this GM? Because this seems like a very strange hierarchy now. They said yesterday, well, with Babcock and Shanahan, we're in no rush. So it would feel like if I'm a potential GM of the Leafs, while I certainly don't have autonomy to make decisions,
yeah.
Am I going to be the capologist and paper shuffler, or what is the role of the GM going to be for the Leafs
when they
hire him?
There. Yeah, they already have a capologist there in Brandon Pridham, and a very good one. This is the way I think it's going to work. When you look at your situation in Calgary, you have Burke and then you have Brad. And, like, I think Tree Living has a lot of sway there. Like, I remember when he took the job, everybody was like, well, he's just going to do whatever Burke tells him to do. That's not the case. He's very much in charge. He has a big voice. I think in Toronto, it's going to be different. And one of the things that happens, Dean, is that people think, because we're used to it, the GM has all the power. It's going to be very different in Toronto. You're going to have Shanahan with the final say on everything. You're going to have Babcock with a big say on a lot of stuff. You're going to have Mark Hunter in charge of a lot of the amateur stuff. You're going to have Kyle Dubas in charge of the American Hockey League and some pro stuff too. Like, those guys are all going to have big says. But I think what the GM is going to do, from what I'm hearing, is the GM is the guy who's going to be the person who says, okay, here's the plan. I'm going to make the phone calls and start to see, all right, make the contacts and say, this is how, these are our options for taking care of the plan. He's going to be the person who does a lot of the groundwork with other teams. Now, it was yesterday, Mike Babcock mentioned Mark Hunter's name about how much he likes him about four or five times. So on the daily wagering chart of who is going to be the next GM of the Maple Leafs, Mark Hunter's name shot up about 10,000 points yesterday. The names we've heard a lot of, Julien Brisebois from Tampa, he has told people he's not leaving the Lightning. We've also heard Jeff Gorton from the Rangers. They have not given anybody permission to talk to him, and the word is he is Glenn Sather's next replacement. Then there's two other names. There's George McPhee, who I think fits ideally with what the Maple Leafs are talking about, and Mike Fiuta of the LA Kings. And I think if Fiuta is the guy, they won't get him till after the draft. I'm hearing that the Kings have said he's staying with us for the draft, and I don't think the Leafs would be too concerned about that because Mark Hunter is going to run their draft anyway.
Yeah, ordinarily you would think being GM of the Maple Leafs, that's a sought-after job. I don't think that's the case. This almost feels like an AGM or something. I don't think that there would be, like, if Ray Shiro was still unhired, you know, if he was still a free agent, he's not taking that job because it's...
Well, go further on that, they did talk to Peter Chiarelli briefly before he took the job in Edmonton, and he was not interested in that particular setup. Yeah. I think it's a good job still because it's high profile. You will get to be part of the decision-making process, and you will be laying the groundwork for a lot of moves. But if you're someone who wants the final say, you're not getting it there. Hello?
Yeah, hi, sorry. We're on location, and the thing dropped out. I was hoping you'd just keep talking. But
no problem.
Thanks. Thanks for letting us down. The funny thing is,
jeez, wow.
You know, and I guess just my last point on this, I think to this, everybody likes Mike Babcock. Great guy, Saskatoon, Team Canada gold medals.
Yep.
I think that changes now in the way he left Detroit. He used Buffalo to a certain extent, whether it's a ton or just a little bit. I don't either, but you know what the outside looking in perspective is going to be, that he leveraged himself to get more money or whatever, and now am I wrong? Am I saying something? It's absolutely true.
I think that's so weak. Like, Dean, come on. Like, let's just say, for example, like, you get another offer to do a morning show somewhere. Are you not using that offer to get yourself maybe a better deal here?
Different scenario, Elliot.
Why?
Because they came... Because Mike Babcock is, in essence, doesn't have a job. I have no problem with him leaving Detroit for more money. I have a problem with him going and sitting down I'm very interested.
Let's do it. Nobody cares, and a coach can't do it.
Let's hammer out a deal. Let me hammer out a deal. We'll figure things out. I'm going to give you a call, and then you call up the Leafs. Listen, I'm not saying he's wrong to do it, but he did it. And the outside perspective is going to be that he used the Buffalo Sabres to either get a sweeter offer or a better destination.
You know what? That's the way the world works. Fact. You don't think that the Buffalo Sabres do that to people? And, like, Rhett, where's Rhett?
Hey,
Rhett, why is it that a player gets to do this and a coach can't?
Can you listen?
No, but
just for a second, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying he did it.
It's yeah.
I'm saying that the outside, which you let's just. Is this thing on?
I'll be quiet. First you get mad at me for not talking, and now you get mad at me for talking.
You can't win, Elliot. This is what I've learned.
What I'm saying, the roundabout thing is that all of a sudden Mike Babcock has a bit of the black hat. People will be rooting for him to fail to a certain extent because of how it looks. I'm not saying he's wrong. Absolutely. If you can get yourself a sweeter spot, you do what you can. But I'm sure in Buffalo they're a little sour, and some because it's the Leafs, people are going to see Mike Babcock in a different light.
I think it goes a little bit more deeper, because and I'm a huge Mike Babcock guy, but it just started to look a little too
self-serving.
Self-serving. The way he was treating the Red Wings a little bit, I didn't like that. There's a team, and maybe I'm overreacting to it, right? They know that Babcock and the Wings know that relationship better than I do. And maybe
I do agree with you on one thing. The Red Wings were clearly uncomfortable with how this went, and I think that was part of the issue for them. They're LeBron James' decision. Like, I've covered basketball and I've covered hockey, and the cultures of the sport are 100% different, and not just because of the makeup of the athletes. Basketball is a very much like. I could not believe how honest basketball players were. If you asked them a question, you were getting the answer, whether you liked it or not. And it's very much an in-your-face game, and I think that goes to the – and also don't forget that basketball, how did they save the NBA in the 80s? With Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and promoting the player. So, like, this LeBron James decision thing last year – people didn't like it, but it was very the way basketball has been promoted. Hockey has always been about the team. The jersey, the logo on the front means more than the name on the back. There were a lot of people in the NHL who were very uncomfortable with how this whole thing played out. And I do think it was very, for lack of a better term, very un-NHL. And I don't think the Red Wings liked it at all. At the end of the day, we all know one thing. If the Detroit Red Wings were anywhere close to Toronto or Buffalo's offer, Mike Babcock is coaching the Detroit Red Wings again. They weren't. It was too hard to leave that money on the table. And I don't think any human being can be expected to leave that much money on the table. And at the end of the day, he chose Toronto over Buffalo. I think he probably did more to create the black hat yesterday, guys, when he called Toronto Canada's team. People were going nuts after he did that. That was, to me, was the true black hat thing.
I agree. That comment is just over the top. That's one of the few things he said that I don't think he really thought through.
You know what? And I guess
actually, you know what, Rhett, knowing him, he probably knew exactly what he was saying.
On Ken Holland, already, I mean, everyone knows he's one of the classiest guys. Scotty Bowman, not short on confidence. Obviously, Mike Babcock. Poor Kenny Holland had to talk about the Babcock contract for a year and a half. We talked to him like a year ago about Babcock entering this final year of his deal. And even yesterday, he's on primetime on Sportsnet there talking to Ken Reed and the Bobcat there. Just such a classy guy, right?
Yeah, he's great, and I think the way, like, we carried his media conference live on Wednesday after it all happened, and I watched this and I said to myself, this is why Detroit wins. This is why they win. Because, first of all, Holland, you know how Babcock is. He's intense, he's fiery, he changes his mind on players every other day. And Holland dealt with him perfectly. He knew which battles to win, he knew which battles to lose. And you saw how smart he was in that press conference. You know, he was telling you, hey, we were lucky. We had 10 great years with Mike Babcock. We won a Stanley Cup. We were in the playoffs every year. But he's basically saying it was time. Like, the Detroit Red Wings came out and basically said, look, you know, we lost this, but we were prepared to lose it, and we were ready to lose it. It's 10 years, and, you know, it's tough to coach in one place for 10 years. And they've also got a ready-made guy there who people think is ready. And if you look at him, look at his record in the American Hockey League, you know, he won a Calder Cup. The next year he lost to the team that won the Calder Cup. And this year he's got his team. They were down 2-0 to Toronto in a best-of-five series. They came back and won it. And now they're in their conference final, and Dylan Larkin's joining the team. Like, they see a guy who's just as much of a pedigreed winner at that point that Babcock was. And they were ready for this. They were ready to move on.
I'm ready to move on, too. But one more. Who does win? I mean, Mike Babcock wins financially. It's great.
And
but
the coaches
the day, or the Detroit Red
McClellan. And we've had two big deals this year, Rhett, where they're now the first and the second highest paid coaches. So the bar's going up again.
Yeah, and that's great for coaches financially. But I'm talking about who made a smarter decision on spending. If you're Detroit or Toronto or Buffalo, who won? Is Toronto actually win at the end of this? 8 years from now,
Rhett, if they win a Stanley Cup, every penny will be worth it. Every penny.
It's like every trade you make in that if you win the cup, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
No matter what, if you win it, won it or lost it, well, we won a Stanley Cup.
You know,
we were talking this morning.
Yesterday, say to me, they've got to win two cups to make this worth it. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, seriously. Do you know how hard it is to win one, never mind two? You win one, you take it.
Are we seeing the LA Kings 2.0 in a way with the Anaheim Ducks? They've lost two games all postseason, both of them in extra time. They're a bounce or a goalpost away from being up 3-0.
They're a bounce or goalpost away from being perfect.
From being perfect. Yeah. And, I mean, what's Kessler obviously has been a big change, but what are you seeing that's different in the Ducks?
Well, I think they're deep. They're really a deep team. You know, Kessler has changed them for the better. Silverberg has changed them for the better. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a general manager last week, and, you know, I'm talking about, you know, looking for a top six forward. And you know what he said to me? He said something very interesting. He goes, what is a top six forward? And because he goes, like, you look at the Ducks, they've got Pat Maroon playing on, you know, a huge role. He says, does anybody think that guy's a top six forward? But they've found a perfect position for him, and he plays it perfectly. And the Ducks are full of guys like that. I think the amazing thing to me, guys, is how this is a team that was second in the NHL at the deadline and decided our defense wasn't good enough, and they changed it. And one of the guys they went out and got, Wisniewski, can't even play, you know, to crack the roster. I just look at them. I see a deep team. I see a confident team. I see a young goalie who is, you know, really confident, and the team believes in him. And they're just a steamroller. You know, if it ends up being Anaheim and Tampa, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Tampa's going to deal with all that. But I agree with you. They do look a lot like the Kings, but they haven't won anything yet. I'd love to see Boudreau win. That's a guy who waited a long time to get his chance.
Thought on Chicago. We know this thing isn't over yet. It just hasn't really looked good for them through three games. Are we starting to see, now moving forward, a tough spot for the Hawks? They got $5 million of cap room. They've got four defensemen under contract for next year. Those massive extensions kick in. There's a lot of work to be done for a GM this summer if you're the Hawks.
Well, the one thing that they have is they have a lot of good young players that we don't know about yet. Like, I remember asking about that when Kane and Toews signed. A bunch of guys who work for other teams, like, what's Chicago's prospect base? Like, not that good, right? And they said, actually, it's better than you think. They've got a few forwards in Rockford who are ready for the NHL, and they keep signing some of these European guys, like Panarin from the Russian team. Like, people couldn't believe that Chicago got him. And it said, you know, you're taking a chance when you're going in next year with a bunch of guys who haven't played a ton. They've got Teravainen now there too, although he was scratched last night. It's no guarantee it's going to work, Ryan, but they've got a lot of talented young guys on low salaries that can support the Toews and the Canes. You know, I think Sharp will be gone in the off season, so they're going to need a couple of these guys to step up, but at least people say the cupboard is not bare. They're better stocked than you would think.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay Saad, too. He's due for a healthy, healthy race.
They're going to have to pay Saad, and, you know, so Sharp will be gone, and, you know, sooner, and you know what, they're going to have a big decision, too, on Kruger. Like, you know, he's another guy who's very important for them.
What else is happening?
Well, I think, you know, the Buffalo coaching situation, I believe Dan Bylsma is heading out to San Jose. Either he's there, he's going out there to do his job interview. I think he'll interview in Buffalo as well. They asked for permission yesterday. You know, I reported last week about Kirby Reichel potentially being available for Columbus. I'm hearing the market on him is pretty hot, that, you know, a lot of teams are calling. They're looking for a defenseman in exchange, whether it's straight up for him or he's part of a package. I think there's a lot of interest in that guy. There's a lot of teams who look at him and say, he's the kind of player that we want. And, you know, I think...
Why would they move him, Elliot?
Why?
Why would they move Kirby Reichel? Yeah.
If you look, Dean, at their roster, they are loaded with young forwards. They've got Boone Jenner. They've got Mark O'Donnell. They've got Alex Wenberg. They've got Bjorkstrand, the kid who scored 61 goals in Portland this year. They've just got a lot, and they really feel they're thin on defense. So they're dealing from a position of strength there. The other thing, too, guys, is I think you'll start hearing the trade talk heat up in the next week or so because a lot of teams are having their scouting meetings. And, you know, I think teams are going to look at it like, okay, now that we've sit down and we've kind of looked around, they're making their draft lists, and they're starting to say, okay, here's who's available and here's who we're going to look for. So I think you'll start hearing some of that filter out over the next week.
Good job tap dancing yesterday. I was complimenting your stretching ability when the
what time does the 11 a.m. press conference start? Yeah, what were they doing?
And
that took a long time.
Yeah, and here's more of Elliot standing in a room filling time.
I look good in the two.
Good job, pal.
Shoes. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Any final words for Mr. Rhett Warner, who's set to go on his couple-year vacation or whatever it turns out to be?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Warner, you know, have a great summer, buddy. And you know what? Just make sure that that farmer's tan doesn't look too bad, okay?
Oh, it's going to be hot.
Get that boiler right in the sun.
And who are you waving to?
Oh, I just it's stupid, idiotic thing I do. There's nobody in particular.
Because this is the thing now, at the end of panel sessions,
I forgot
Elliot
one
waves.
Time. And actually, they made a musical to it. It's actually pretty funny. One of the guys put them all together and made a musical to it, but you know, I don't want them to play that. That's way too self-indulgent.
You're like royalty.
You're like Mike Babcock.
Mike
you know,
Babcock.
If Elliot Friedman's got a wave to the camera, then Elliot Friedman's got a wave to the camera. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Have yourself a great weekend. Oh, and one other thing. Now that Hammond signed, teams are calling Ottawa. What do you want? Which guy? And if Ottawa can get a top six forward for one of those two guys, that's the guy who goes, I think.
Edmonton. Nice.
Yeah,
thanks, pal.
I definitely think they're going to be in it, too.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Elliot Friedman is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Score a winning price. Save $2,000 on a 2015 Kia Sportage. Pay just $22,800 or finance for $112 weekly. Barlow and 23rd or EastsideKia.ca.
Speaking of going over time, it's 8:14, so it's time for our 8 o'clock break.
Is this going to roll into the 8:20?
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to take a break is what we're going to do.